Yeah, bet.
Hi. Okay, so let's begin. What I want to talk about tonight is this rainbow that Hashem maybe created, maybe not, after the flood. And after the flood, and the people are ready to, well, Hashem is ready to tell the people to leave. Hashem says in Perek Tes, Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Elokim al Noach ve'al banav ito lemor. So God tells Noach and God tells his children, saying, Vani hinini mekim es brisit chem vezarachem achrechem. I am establishing my treaty with you and with your children after you. Ves kol nefesh achaya asher itchem ba'of, ba'peimav, chol chayas ha'aretz itchem. And with all living creatures, birds, animals, Mikol yotzei ha'teva l'chol chayas ha'aretz, anyone who comes out of the teva, Vakimosi es brisi itchem, I'm going to establish my treaty with you. V'lo yikares kol basar od mimei ha'mabul. People, no one's going to die, anyone go, or is going to be cut off from the waters of the flood. V'lo ya'od mabul l'shachay sa'aretz. There will not be another flood to destroy the land. So the first four psukim is a treaty, it seems, or a commitment to not destroy the, to not bring about another flood. And then Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer Elokim zos oses habris asher ani nosein beini uveinichem uvein kol nefesh chaya asher itchem ledoros olam. So this is the sign of the covenant, of this treaty, of this commitment. Iskashi nesati be'anan, I placed my bow in the clouds, Vaisala os bris beini uvein ha'aretz, and it'll be as a sign between me and between the land. Vaya banani anan al ha'aretz, and it'll be banani anan ha'aretz. I guess it'll be very cloudy. Anan anan, be very, I guess, the darkened clouds on the land. Vinirasa keshes banam, the rainbow will be seen in the clouds. Vzacharti es brisi asher beini uveinichem. Uvein kol nefesh chaya b'chol basar v'liya odem abulish le'mayim le'mabulish achez kol basar. And when I see this sign, I'm going to remember my covenant. And so the water, there won't be another flood. V'aysa catches be'anan, and the rainbow will be in the clouds, or isi, and I will see at least kor bris olam, to remember the everlasting covenant, bein Elokim, uvein kol nefesh chaya, between God and every living creature. B'chol basar shel aretz, that's of the land. Vayomer Elokim el Noach, and God says to Noach, "Zos osa brisha kemos b'di v'nekol basar shal shalaretz." So this is the sign of the covenant. So in other words, this section includes, number one, a commitment or a treaty not to destroy the world via a flood, and then we have the sign of the rainbow. And I guess I'm interested in a couple of questions. Number one is, why the treaty? Why do we need a treaty or a covenant? Number two, when was the sign of the rainbow created? Technical question. And number three, why do we need a sign? In other words, if God makes a commitment, I'm never going to destroy the world, why does he need to provide a sign? Isn't God's commitment sufficient? So those are the three questions I want to address this evening. So regarding the first question, so by the way, was this a treaty or was this a commitment? What's the difference between a treaty and a commitment? If you
Is
answer,
a commitment one-sided,
right,
maybe?
exactly. A commitment is one-sided. A treaty is bilateral. Was this a commitment or a treaty?
Treaty.
A treaty. Why do you say it's a treaty?
Because it says itchem, ve'etzarechem. It's
Okay.
all, not only you, but also the future generations.
Okay. Well, again, that could be a commitment, but I think the word bris or brit implies a treaty. On the other hand, usually when you enter into a treaty, the language is what? Not mekim, but what?
Correct,
Korate
correct.
brit. So therefore,
I don't think it matters if it's a commitment or a treaty. It's all a commitment because the people don't have any bargaining power. Usually a treaty, you have people and they each have bargaining power. Here, Hashem has all the bargaining power. This is what he's saying. So in effect, it's a commitment.
Well, again, it's God. Well, is it God's commitment or is he basically saying, I am committing, I'm entering into a treaty, I'm making a commitment, but you have to do something. So the first point I want to make is that it's not 100% clear from the text whether it's mekim, which is a commitment, maybe. It's not a lashon of kores, but bris implies a treaty. In fact, and then the question is, so what if it's simply a commitment, as Alan wants to say, so why does Hashem need to make a commitment? So Rashi believes it was a commitment, and the Dat Mikra says the lashon of making bris as opposed to koret brit implies a commitment and not a treaty. Rashi says
there's a hint. There's a hint. Koret, because it's lo yikaret.
Okay.
It's a little hint there.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So Rashi says vani hinini maskim animcha. I agree with you. Shehaya Noach doeg lasok bepriro v'rivya. Noach was worried about engaging in procreation. Ad shiv tichu. Until God promised that he wouldn't destroy the world again. This is what he did. And God says, I'm going to make a sign to strengthen my covenant. And I'm going to show you a sign. So again, Rashi basically looks at this story and says that Noah was traumatized after the Mabul. And therefore, he was not planning on populating the world anymore because he's thinking to himself, what's the purpose of it all if indeed, or his family is saying, what's the purpose of repopulating the world if it just might get destroyed again? So therefore, a commitment was necessary by God to convince Noah to start again. The Sfarno actually says that this was a treaty. Vani hini mekim briti. Al zeh hatanai shlo tishpachu dam naki. On condition that you don't simply spill innocent blood. Ani mekim briti shlo lashachet od haaretz. So when he says, I'm hereby going to enter into this treaty, there's hinted in it is that you don't spill innocent blood. Avo b'shvicha dam naki tishachet aretz, ki amro ki adam hu yachnif et aretz, el aretz lo yichupar, etc. So it's interesting. It's not so clear what the evidence that Sfardo has at here that Noach's and the humanity commits not to engage in wanton murder as a condition to their being no more flood. They bring a pasuk for Bamidbar. So what probably motivates Sfarno is the fact that a bris is a treaty and it's two sides. So what's the other side? So the Sfarno finds a pasuk of Bamidbar that says that wanton murder is something that will cause destruction. But if it comes to other sins, the city will be punished, but the land won't be destroyed. So I'm just pointing out to you, you have two different ways to understand. Was this a commitment? Or was this God saying, I won't do this again, but you can't engage in murder? Now, as to the second issue, when was the rainbow? And so now we have a sign. And the sign for this promise not to destroy the world is a question as to when this sign came about. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, this is in Pirkei Mishnah Vav, it states that Sarah Devar Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Beit HaShemashos. 10 things were created on Erev Shabbos Beit HaShemashos. And one of them was what? HaKeshes, the rainbow. So God says in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Eskashi Nasati Be'adad. Does that mean he created the rainbow now? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is a tradition. It was created at Ma'aseh Bereishis, at the sixth day of creation. So you have different opinions about this. The Ibn Ezra writes that Ein Perusha Kasher Amar HaGaon, so he says it's a Gaon who says, it may have, maybe it's Rav Sajigo maybe, he says, it's not what the Gaon says, Ki Batchila Haisa. The rainbow was created already earlier. So what new happened now that all of a sudden they saw the rainbow? So the Malbim gives an example, or he's an example of an explanation that's saying that the rainbow was created, but it was only perceptible now after the flood. Why is that? So the Malbim writes the following. Uchvar amarnu, and we already said, Shekodim amabo lo yageshem yored rak echad l'arboim shana. That rain would only come down once every 40 years. And then once every 40 years it would pour. The clouds would become darkened and it would be thick and it would be very, very thick, the darkness. Ad shelo haya efshar shiyisra hakeshes bahe b'shnei tamim, to such an extent that the rainbow would not be able to be seen for two reasons. B'nei gasut ha'avim, because of the thickness of the clouds. Shehayu shvanim v'afrorim l'chozek teva ha'aretz v'chabriyusa, that it was just very thick. And the earth was, the clouds were very thick. V'lo haya efshar shiyavar bam nitzus ha'shemes, and there wasn't any ability for light to appear in the sky. In other words, what's a rainbow? A rainbow is the refraction of the sun's rays through water. The refraction of the light create waves at different length and frequency, producing the colors of the rainbow. So it has to come through water. It only rained once every 40 years, but the clouds are really thick, so you were not able to have any sun rays. And then the Malbim says, not only were the clouds thick, the clouds covered the entire land. Even if the clouds were not so strong, it was both the thickness and the amount of clouds. And so because of the nature of the clouds, it was very thick. After the flood, the nature of the land changed. And the power of the thickness was weakened. Until the rain fell normally, like now. As soon as it started to rain, as soon as the cloud would fill up, it would start to rain. He's dakaku v'nasu kalim v'zakim, and the clouds would become, sometimes thin, and I guess pure. V'lo yiskabtsu adim rabim achorim. It didn't become, clouds aren't always so dark. V'afarim ad sheyechazek kol kadur haaretz, and it wouldn't cover the whole horizon. V'koshin ad sheyu l'mabu l'shachet kol basar. It certainly would not become that thick. So the Malbim basically takes the view that before the floods, the clouds in the sky were always too thick to allow the requisite light to appear in the sky. But after the flood, the clouds were no longer thick. so the rainbow, which did exist from the beginning of time, but now it became visible for the first time because the nature changed.
Does he say why it takes 40 years? Like,
no, I don't know why. I don't know why.
Where do you get this from, anyway? Did he say?
I don't. He said probably in a different source. I didn't check that up. I should check that up next time. The Ramban explains Zozo Sabrius. He has a different view. He says it seems that this is the first time. I need no saying. Mashmi also says Shalya Keshes Benami Masa Brachus. Vatapar Hashem Chadashel Asos Keshes BeShabayim BeYavanan. It seems that this was created now. However, he says at the end of the day, Anachnu Kochein Namin LeDivrei HaYavanim. However, we are forced to accept the Greek teaching. Shemi Lahat Hashemesh Bavir Halach Ya Keshes BeTolada. That the rainbow is formed from the sun's rays shining in moist air. Ki bichli maim lifnei Hashemesh yira kamari akeshes. For a container of water held up to the sun will produce a similar phenomenon. Vakesher nistak lo b'lashon ha'kasuk davin kein. If we understand the language of the pasuk, we'll understand like this. Ki amaris kashti nosati b'anan. It says, I placed in past tense the rainbow in the clouds. V'lo amar ani nosein b'anan. It doesn't say I'm doing it presently. That this is that he doesn't say, when it comes to the sign, he says, I'm giving you the sign now, but I place the rainbow in the present. There already was a keshes beforehand. So how does he understand the pasuk? Hakeshes, the rainbow, that I placed in the clouds, miyom habriya, from the day of creation. There was already a rainbow beforehand, but from now on it will be a sign. And anytime I show the sign, azkir, that I will remember, kibri shalom b'ni v'nechem, there'll be a covenant of peace between me and you. So now we have this debate. We had a debate as to the function of the covenant. Was it a covenant or a commitment? I've shared with you two different opinions as to when the rainbow was created. Is it now, or was it visible now for the first time, or was it always visible but now it functions as a sign? And now, what's the purpose of a sign? God makes a covenant. God makes a commitment. Why do we need a sign for the commitment? So I think there are at least two ways you could look at it, two broad ways, because God needs the sign so he'll remember. What does that mean? Does God need something to remember?
Obviously, God doesn't need a sign.
Right, he doesn't need a sign. Obviously, it's for us.
We say,
God doesn't forget. So what does it mean there's a sign here? So the Rashi says, Banani anan, when it enters into my thought to bring darkness and destruction in the world, so, in other words, Bein Elokim veKol Nevesh Chaya. This the midrash is what Kishetavo Midas Hadin leKatrig Aleicha, Ani Roa Taoz VeNiskar. When Midas Hadin, when my mida of strict justice is awakened to destroy humanity, I'm going to see the sign and I'll remember. In other words, what does that mean for us? According to this approach, and Rav Elazar Ashkenazi, in Maase Hashem, he was a Talmud of Yosef Cairo, he explains this Rashi to mean that God is basically saying, when we see a rainbow in the sky, we are reminded that we should be destroyed if not for the goodwill of God. In other words, it's reminding us to do tshuva. We see a rainbow in the sky, it's a sign that it's like a warning sign that we're doing bad. And again, you can look at it like Rashi, God just made a promise for us, right? Or maybe like within the Svarno, that it's a commitment not to destroy us, assuming we don't engage in wanton murder. So it could be that this sign should motivate us to do tshuva. Maybe we're engaged in something that could lead to our destruction. But in other words, according to Rashi, as explained by the Maase Hashem, the purpose of the sign is for us to motivate us to do tshuva, to let us know that we're engaging in bad behavior and we need to do tshuva. However, the Ramban says something different. Ramban says, "Vamru betama aosazos." What's the purpose of this sign? Ki akeshes lo aso shiyu raglov lamala shiur keelu kilu mina shemem morimbo. Right, the bow faces up, not down. If the rainbow would face down, then what's it like? It's like God shooting arrows at us. If the rainbow was faced the opposite way, it would be like a sign that heaven is ready to destroy us. That God, as it were, is ready to shoot an arrow at us. But it's done the opposite way, to say that God is not going to shoot arrows at us from Shemayim. So apparently in the days of the Ramban, it was the way of those who are going to war. This is like a sign of peace. And the Chizkuni says, Kisha Keshet, similarly, Nira Hapkima Mitzad Mata Zederch Shalom. This is a sign of peace. Shadorche Keshet Kishem Vakshim Liros He Mechavim Hayeter Neged Pneim, Vakeshet Kenegev Haoivim, Vakeshet Azos Hayeter Kenegdenu. That Chizkuni says, similarly, that when someone wants to shoot an arrow, the wider part is facing your combatant, and here it's facing the person themselves, who's mm-hmm. holding the bow. So this is a sign of peace. This is a sign of love. So when we're perhaps engaging in bad behavior, the sign, according to this approach, is that God loves us. And in mm-hmm. fact, in Sefer Yecheskel, the pasuk says that Kimaria Keshes, what is the sign, the image of the Keshes? Sheyeh Be'anam B'yom Geshen. That's Humaret Demus Kvod Hashem. This is a sign of the glory of God, the covet of Hashem. And when Yecheskel sees the vision of the rainbow, it's like the Shechina, as it were. It's more than simply love of God, but it's more like the Shechina. And in fact, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Tesavet Aleph, cites a position of Rav Alexandri, who says the name of Rabbi Yeshua, Haroe Esakeshes Be'anan, if someone sees a rainbow, Tzurich Shiyipal Panam, needs to fall on his face. Shenemar Kimara Keshe Ye Be'anan Ver'e Ve'po Apanai. So he cites the Pasuk Yecheskel, saying that when you see a rainbow, it's almost as if you're witnessing the divine presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you need to fall on your face. Now, they didn't like this. In the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they cursed this opinion, because if you bow down, it seems like you're bowing down to the rainbow itself. That's a technical problem. But what we're saying here is an extension of the Ramban, the Chizkuni, or that the rainbow represents the kavod of Hashem, the Shechina. So essentially, we have two opposing perspectives when we see the rainbow and we think about the Noah story. One way that we can look at the rainbow when we think about the Noah story is that it's a warning. You know, it's like you're a bad person, you're acting bad, you need to do tshuva, and only because I made a promise, I'm not going to destroy you. But you really don't deserve it. So you need to get into your best behavior, you need to do tshuva. That's one way of understanding it. However, there's another approach. And that is, yes, maybe we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, but the message is that Kadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows the Shechina. He still cares for us. And when I think about these approaches, I think about the question of how we relate to someone who's not doing the right thing. Do we make a sign simply to show that they need to repent? And we're basically saying, you know, we're very harsh with them. And sometimes we can be frustrated with people. We try, and you know, we say, okay, I'm not punishing you, but this shows you how angry I am at you and how much you need to repent. And maybe that works some of the time. The Ma'aseh Hashem's approach works some of the time. But maybe we live in a society today where maybe we need to follow the Ramban and the Chizkuni, Sefer Yecheskel, Rav Yeshua Levi, Shuben Levi Spishin, Mar Brachos. That maybe when someone is not doing the right thing, maybe the first response is make a sign to show that we love them. In other words, maybe the method to get them to improve is simply to say, I love you and I believe in you. And maybe the harsh, darkened clouds and the meeting is coming. And that focus, that's one possible response. But it seems to be in the day and age that the response of the Ramban, the Chizkuni, the Yecheskel, the Gemara Brachos, the Daf Nun Tesavet Aleph, seems to be the most effective course of action.